Good evening to beautiful Temple Shalom, and thank you, Ken Benson, for moderating tonight. Well, we had an election May 14th, and we ended up with a runoff. And since then, William Sal, the third place runner-up, has endorsed me, as well as Ron Natinsky. Tonight, both of us will be asking you for your endorsement through your vote. Well, what do we all want in Far North Dallas? We want a great place to live, right? We want beautiful neighborhoods, safe and quiet. We want streets that are well-maintained, and we want city services that are dependable and affordable. So what's the problem? Well, last year, we had a huge budget shortfall, and the city government, city council, decided to solve that with a record-breaking increase in the property taxes. But it didn't really fix the problem. We ended up with a shortfall again. So I guess what I'm saying to you tonight is, which candidate has the experience in this tough financial situation that we're in right now to set the right priorities and get us on the right track with our financial situation? I submit to you that I'm the best candidate for three reasons. I'm a CPA and a financial planner, and I've spent my career helping to set priorities, delve into complicated issues, sort out the different alternatives, and come up with workable solutions. Second, I have a strong work ethic. I'm used to getting into work in the morning early and working until the evening until the job is done. On my campaign, I visited over 2,000 homes to talk to voters about their concerns. And it's, to me, it's just part of the job, and I enjoy doing it. Third, I have a fresh perspective to setting priorities for the city without a look to the past. Well, the city of Dallas is going to be very, very prosperous again, hopefully sooner rather than later, but we need to position ourselves properly for that time. I'm a concerned citizen. I've spent my career helping families and businesses prepare, position themselves for success in their future. With your vote, I can bring that experience to City Hall full time and help you in your success. Thank you very much.
Now over to you, Sandy.
Thank you, Ken. Thank you all for taking time to be here tonight when I know you probably want to run out the door and get to that Mavericks game, but I appreciate your interest and the fact that you're interested enough to come here and hear the both of us discuss this. I'm running again because so many people asked me to run again. When Ron Natinsky decided to run for mayor and left an open seat, two candidates filed, and then I had a lot of phone calls and emails from people in the district, homeowner association leaders, people who were active in their neighborhoods, saying, we don't know these candidates. They've never done anything in the district. We've not worked with them, and we would like you to come back and run because we know you. We know we've worked with you, and you've been successful at helping us with the situations and the concerns that we have in Far North Dallas. So they convinced me to do it, and I'm running again. But also, it's been nice for me because I've reconnected during this time with so many great people who live in the district. I would tell you this district is a pleasure to represent. It's got great people. But one of the things that is important in this district is we are very far away from City Hall. And City Hall kind of forgets sometimes that we're all the way up here. And the other thing is they forget we have any needs and concerns up here. They kind of think we're all rich and that we really don't have any problems. But we have things that we need done up here. We value our quality of life. We want to have good streets, good alleys, good parks. We want to have neighborhoods that we want to live in. We can look around us and see the suburbs right by us. And those suburbs have great quality of life. We want that too. And you need a strong, effective representative down at City Hall to make sure that you get your fair share of the tax dollars and the things that you need done. I have that experience. I've been known to be very successful and effective down at City Hall in getting the 8 votes that are needed in order to get what people in this district want. I have expertise in a lot of different areas with zoning and planning and transportation, and I can bring that to bear to help this district and to help the city. There is more to being a city council representative than the budget. I would never say that isn't very important, but it is one part of the city council person's job. That budget is decided in September. If that's all you're interested in, what do you do for the rest of the year? What you do is you get to know your district, you know them, and you work hard on their behalf. And that I have a good record of doing. So I come here today and I ask for your support, and I hope that I will be able to represent you again in the future. Thank you.
Okay, I've got a bunch of questions up here. We'll get started here in a second. We're going to start with the most talked about issue in Dallas today, and that is, who do you think is going to win the game tonight, and what's the score?
Well,
go ahead.
Okay. Well, the Mavericks, of course.
Okay, Mavs, what's the score?
90-85. Mavericks, of course, 95-91.
This will be on AERA tomorrow. Candidates predict the score. We have a couple questions in terms of the bio here that really relate to community service and neighborhood service and what you've been doing in the district. So the questions specifically are, please tell me about your community service in the district. Be specific, please. And another one talks about neighborhood issues and how active you've been. Tell me about your neighborhood involvement over the last 10 years. So, Sandy, we'll start with you and talk about your community and neighborhood involvement over the last 10 years.
Well, I'm known as a neighborhood advocate. And when I was on the council, I did a number of things in this district that I'm very proud of. I helped establish the Preston Ridge Trail. And that is an enormous amenity for our area up here. I think it's actually added value to the homes that are close to it. It is now being moved forward by a fabulous group called the Friends of the Preston Ridge Trail with a great group of people. So I'm very proud of that. And one of the things I would like to do when I get back on council, if I do, is that I would like to help establish a trail on the west side of the district, which has lots and lots of apartments. There's a lot of density there. And those folks need some green space also. So there is an opportunity to establish a trail there, and I would like to work on that. I have worked in the last 10 years on a number of different issues that are citywide, but that also could greatly impact the city of our district and the city. And those are the billboard ordinance, the tree preservation ordinance, the form-based zoning. Form-based zoning may be used along the Cotton Belt line if and when that line moves forward and gets developed. So I have been busy working on all those issues that would impact District 12 at some point. And I've done it citywide and within the district itself. I have continued to work with neighborhoods who call me with their concerns.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for mentioning the Cotton Belt line. There was a mailer that went out this week by the by Sandy and her group, and was signed by the person that invited me to this forum, that said that I'm only focused on the city budget, not interested in the Cotton Belt issue. Well, I want to make it clear that I have been interested in the Cotton Belt issue ever since I moved to my home 20 years ago, which is 170 feet from the Cotton Belt rail line. I do fully endorse the Nintensky plan, which addresses concerns of the neighborhood, and I plan to fight for that to protect the neighborhood. Now, what have I done? I lived in the wonderful Fort Knox, Dallas for 20 years, volunteered in my son's school, volunteered at the library, learned the benefit of the library for many, many reasons, job resource, etc. I have been active in the Homeowners Association during the time that I've been here. I've also been active and I'm very proud to say that I've been active in the grassroots politics, but mainly it's an educational effort, educating my neighbors in 75248 zip code about what's going on with candidates and okay. Thank you.
I should tell you, the candidates are used to be, when I moderated the Dallas Breakfast Group, I'll let them go until they're finishing their sentences or something like that. If they do go too long, I usually hit them or something like that. We have our timer down here, so if you see them stop in the sentence, it's because there's a stop sign. But we're trying to keep it the answers to 90 seconds each. If they need a little more time, I'm going to let you finish.
Okay, you
know, some of these things are going to need more than 90 seconds. We have a couple of questions, more than a couple of questions on the budget. And we'll get started on starting on that discussion. I anticipate that we'll probably end up having three or four different kinds of questions.
Can the question just go to the other side?
Oh. What?
Has that question been sent to the other side?
Did you answer that?
Yes.
Started.
Rodney?
Yeah.
Shut up. It's an example.
Yeah, right.
There are several questions on the budget. One, talks about the economic decline and how will each of the candidates maintain services. Another asks how you can control the city budget. Another is your preferred allocation of city resources. And then the one is District 12 is very different from other districts. We value our parks and our streets. We don't mind paying a fair tax. But how will you see that our money is spent wisely and improved in District 12? So we're going to start big picture first. And I'm sort of going to paraphrase all these questions into one, and then I'm probably going to keep asking some other questions in more detail as we get through the evening. But the question I would have for you all is, do you think there needs, the first question gets to this prioritization. Do you think that there needs to be a different prioritization of how we spend money in the city of Dallas? And for the audience, we spend about 40% of our budget on police services, about 19% on fire services, so that takes up 60% of our budget. So when you're talking about parks and rec and libraries and like that, you're really getting down to 40% of the budget. So do you think that there ought to be a reallocation in terms of our how we prioritize spending at the city of Dallas and the city budget? I think you're first on it.
No. Well, generally I don't. I think that crime, public safety, is a very important part of how we spend money. I think in the last city survey, the top two items that people were concerned about was public safety and maintenance of infrastructure. So streets and alleys are very important too. That's part of the capital budget. But anyway, I think that in looking at the priorities in the budget, the police department is such a large portion of the budget. If we have to set any priorities, we have to look at that area as well. We can't just ignore it. So, but basically, I was gratified to see that the chief of police recently said that they could not hire as many new policemen in the department. What they could do is move some people from desk jobs out to the street, and that is kind of my philosophy, is that we don't want to decrease the people that are actually providing the services. We want to look in the back office, we want to look in more in the administrative area, apply some metrics to that, and see if we can do some consolidation and streamlining. I'm
trying to turn my cell phone on the side. Sandy?
Well, public safety is more than the police. It's the police, it's the fire, it's the paramedics, and it is the biggest portion of the budget, and rightfully so. But I don't think any part of the budget ought to be a sacred cow. I think we need to look at everything. The police chief, Chief Brown, has said that he thinks he can be successful with the officers that he currently has. So that helps us in determining what our priorities are in the budget. I think we ought to look at establishing neighborhood quality of life priorities, because we want people to continue to live in our neighborhoods and choose Dallas to live in. What has happened so often lately is that companies come here and they move to Dallas, but their employees settle in the suburbs. They don't live in the city. We grew slower than any other city in the region, and there's a reason for that. And we need to look at that. We need to figure out how to fix that. So I think that what you put money in is what you value, in both your personal life and as a public official. Where you put your funds is where you put your values. So I would fund the things that make neighborhoods have good quality of life. I would tell the city manager early in the budget process what you want as a council to be funded, and make sure that that indeed is what she comes up with when she hands the council her budget in August. because after she hands the council her budget in August, they have 2 months to decide how they're going to finalize that budget. They wind up tinkering over a few million dollars instead of really getting at the heart of the budget, which is more than $2 billion.
I'm going to follow up on that, come right back at you, Sandy. As a prior council member, you know where some of the number, where some of the dollars were spent. Have you identified any areas that can that you can take a look at to say, hey, we got to cut here, think about cutting here to reduce the $60 million shortfall we're spending? Is there any particular areas that you think we can cut based on your past experience?
You know, it is hard because priorities change in the city, but you know one thing that would be very helpful? One thing that would be very helpful is during the course of the year, as different things come up, companies deciding perhaps that they want to look at relocating here, and we give them tax abatements and incentives. I would tell you that recently the city gave tax abatements and incentives to two companies that had already decided to move here. They said, we're going to move here whether you give us abatements and incentives or not. And we said, great, and we're still going to give them to you. That's not a good use of our money. I'll tell you another good use, or not a good use of our money, is to fund things like Second College Drop of Fancy Bridges when we can't fund our basic city services. So it's not just what you establish as priorities in the budget. It's things that come up over the course of a year when you're on council, and those little decisions aren't so little, they add up. When you're giving millions of dollars of abatements and incentives and you don't take a good hard look at that, that adds up and has an impact on the budget.
Similar question to you. You said you would read the budget from front to back and come up with some possible cost savings. I won't ask you if you've read the budget from front to back, but have you identified so far in the campaign any areas that you think the cuts can be made in the city budget?
Well, I think what I mentioned about the police department, I think there's some other things like expenditures we make for consultants in some cases. We need to look carefully at that. Do we need that kind of thing? As Sandy said, things that come up from time to time, like last year the 4th of July celebration was done on the 5th of July, and we saved the money by raising the funds from private enterprises to do the celebration. So we saved the whole cost of that. I think we need to look at carefully about what is the focus of each area. Are we going beyond what was originally intended? And then determine cost per unit, possibly. How much does it cost to check a book out of a library? How much does it cost to pick up garbage from a home? And then look at some ways to streamline, consolidate, et cetera, to handle those kinds of situations. Anything specific is I guess more difficult for me at this time, but I'm, as I said in my opening, I'm used to delving into complex issues and talking with different people and coming up with some solutions in that area. So that's nothing new to me.
I'm going to come back and talk about some numbers and budgets and economic development in a second, but I want to take on some local issues that some of you all asked about. One is you just referenced, and I want to just bring it up because of the fact it's has been a major issue up here, and that's the Cotton Belt line. You had mentioned the mailer that Sandy had sent out for her campaign. Talk about the Cotton Belt line, what you envision happening over the next year or 2 years, and what you as a council member think that you can do to impact that. Where am I in terms of who goes first? Audience? Sandy.
The Cotton Belt rail line that DART wants to put through has been an issue since 1994, and I first started talking to neighborhoods about it in 1994. The concern is there's multiple concerns with that line, one of them being that we have seven major north-south streets that cross that line, and if you have trains going by 30 and 40 times a day and impacting that north and south traffic, that's a huge issue for us up here. So the Detinsky plan talks about putting that train line below grade, meaning below the surface. That is an excellent idea, but it's very costly. It's more costly than the way DART usually does its rail lines. Every other line in the city is along the street. So the way you're going to get that money is through a public-private partnership. And that is the only way that there's ever going to be enough money to develop that line. If there is no public-private partnership, that line isn't going to happen. I am committed to seeing that that plan is done in a way that protects the neighborhoods up here. No other line in the city has homes that are only 50 feet away from the tracks. These neighborhoods have them. And the reason that I sent out that postcard was at a candidate Q&A, when we were asked about this Cotton Belt rail line by somebody who lived in the neighborhood and was concerned, Ms. Starnes said, and I quote, "I am not interested in that issue, I've never been interested in that issue, and I won't work on it if I'm elected. I have been working on it for 15 years, I care about that, and people in this district care about that. And so I think it's a hugely important issue and I will keep on working on it."
Okay, Ken, get ready. Things are going to heat up here. Well, as I said before, I've lived in the neighborhood for 20 years, and I live 170 feet from the Cotton Belt Rail. To think that I would not support the Natinsky Plan, which addresses the concerns of the neighborhood, is ridiculous. So I guess I have to accuse Sandy of outright misrepresentation in this area. I have never said that I don't care about the that to anybody. What has Sandy done on the Cotton Belt Rail? Well, she's fought against it, and that's good. But in her time on the city council, did she really come up with any constructive way to address the problems with the Cotton Belt Rail? No. Ron Natinsky, Honorable Ron Natinsky, did during his 6 years on the City Council and as chairman of the Regional Transportation Council. He came up with the Natinsky Plan, which is a plan which addresses the concerns of the neighborhood.
Keeping in the theme of transportation, we have a question from the audience. Will the candidates please share their position on public work projects involved with improvements to roads in our neighborhoods? Not only maintenance, but new construction for improvements. Dallas engineers are now working on some. There was a specific reference to a project at Gibbons and Haverwood by one of the questionnaires as well, and I think it fits into that question. So the question is, will the candidates share their position on public works projects involved with improvements to roads in our neighborhoods, not only involving maintenance, but also new construction?
Okay, well, obviously this is a vital concern to the people in our neighborhood, because having well-maintained streets that we can drive on is necessary to live, work, to go to school, etc. I think this is something that I really want to work on. I had an experience where I had one of our neighbors called me, went over to view her alley, and it looked like she'd been in some kind of a war or something. You know, there was no way you could drive up and down the alleys without damaging the wheels on your car. So I spent about an hour with her talking about it. I've also, as I said in my campaign, I've gone door to door, over 2,000 doors, talking to neighbors about their concerns. This is something I like to do, I enjoy to do. I enjoy hearing out people and coming up with some good solutions. I think this is an area that we really need to set a priority on in our neighborhood, and I plan to do that.
The city has a plan for maintaining their streets, and what they try to do is they try to do slurry seals and other kinds of fixes that are more of a temporary fix to keep the streets in good shape as long as they possibly can be held that way. For major reconstructions of streets and alleys, those projects are put into the bond program. When I was on the council, I made alley reconstructions a priority because up here we have rear entry houses. And we go use our alleys a lot. So that's an important part of our infrastructure that needs to be maintained. So I made alley reconstructions a priority in the bond programs when I was on city council. Street reconstructions, like I said, are funded through the bond program, so that what you need to do is you need to get your street or your alley on the needs inventory list and get it funded in a bond program. But that leads to the next thing, which is that if you talk about finances in the city, We have assumed a lot of debt in our city, and we've done that through these long-term bond programs. So I think we need to be very careful in the future about how much more debt we accumulate through bond programs. One of the things we absolutely need to fund in the next bond program is fixes to our sumps and our pumps along the Trinity downtown, because that is part of our safety in this city, and our flood control is a hugely important issue and area that needs to be funded.
Just a simple follow-up on that. Do you think there are some issues with the way the city does its public works and roads and neighborhoods? And if so, is there a radical fix that needs to be needed, or we just need more communication? Just a quick answer on that follow-up.
I think we need to treat it like more like a business. I think we need more immediate feedback. I think we have a survey every couple of years that asks people how they feel about city services, but I think we need to, after a job is done, we need to have some kind of questionnaire filled out or some kind of immediate feedback. This was done right, or no, you need to come back and do it again. I think that would be very effective.
When neighborhood streets are closed or when they are put up for speed bumps or something, there is an elaborate process involved in that that has to do with multiple petitions. Neighbors have to agree to the tune of perhaps two-thirds of the neighborhood agreeing on this. So it is an elaborate process that is in place in order to get anything done with neighborhood streets other than routine maintenance. That's a process that protects everybody involved. It assures that neighborhoods have pretty much general agreement when anything is done in their communities related to streets. On alleys, there is also a process. So there are safeguards in place for what happens in neighborhoods related to public works projects.
Thank you, Sandy. I'm going to ask a quick question on natural gas and the fracking issue. Are either of you in favor of moving forward on the fracking in the city of Dallas? Is natural gas drilling, and what is your position on natural gas exploration and excavation in the city of Dallas? That's the question.
I was enormously pleased that the city formed a task force to look at this whole issue. This is a serious issue for many people in the city who live over the Barnett Shale, and it's mostly on the western side of our city. We need to have this task force look at it and have information brought, complete and thorough information, so that we aren't giving leases out in this city. It was a shame that we didn't take a good look at this before we granted some companies the ability to drill in the city. And fortunately, we haven't okayed any of those yet until we can take a good hard look at this through the task force. The Fort Worth city authorities rushed into this, and they're regretful now, and they're stepping back and taking a look at it. So I think it is excellent that we have the opportunity to take a close look at this before we move further at all in it. And there was a bill filed in the state legislature recently that would have prohibited cities from having the ability to deny a lease to a gas company to drill in the city. That was an awful bill, and cities need to have the ability to control that for the benefit of their residents.
Okay, I believe that obviously public safety is very important in this situation. We need to make sure that it is safe, and it's a good idea that we have the task force. However, on the other side of it, I think one of our problems that I emphasize, I think more than Sandy does, is that we need to make things predictable for businesses in order to encourage businesses to come to Dallas. And in this case, the oil companies, gas companies, paid for the right to pursue that business in the city of Dallas. And now we're holding them up rightfully, but we shouldn't go on indefinitely. And we should not have the policy of, setting businesses up to do things and then not following through. But public safety is number one. I think we need to put a limit on the time the task force spends and be more predictable in our dealings with businesses.
We're going to move on to the Trinity River Corridor project. The question is, what is your position on the toll road through the Trinity? And Sandy, there was a little bit of a question, follow-up for you. Has your position changed or evolved on this issue since it was first brought up years ago? But the question is, what is your position on a toll road through the Trinity River Corridor project?
Okay. Well, the tollway has been voted on by voters and approved at least once, twice, maybe more. So we do have a commitment to look at that and make sure we're doing what the voters in the city of Dallas ask us to do. Now, there's some doubt been placed on it lately, and obviously the primary importance there is making sure that the levees are secure, and that if we did build a tollway, that that was according to the Corps of Engineers, that was safe. I think there's a potential for a lot of development there, and also the tollways can provide a way to move traffic around the city of Dallas and relieve some of the traffic there. Maybe we need to, if the tollway is not feasible, maybe we need to look at some other alternatives that meet the same goals. But the voters of the city of Dallas have voted to approve the tollways, and so we need to proceed in accordance with the wishes of the voters until we find that there are other alternatives.
When I was on the council, I was chair of the transportation committee, and I was on every regional group related to transportation. I was also co-chair of the Trinity River Committee. So I knew as much as anyone, and more than most people, all the ins and outs and details of that project, especially as related to the toll road in between the levees. I always thought it was a bad idea to put a road in between the levees in our floodway. That's not a floodplain where water can spread out over the land and gradually soak into the ground. That is a floodway that carries our floodwaters away from the city of Dallas for our safety. I'm not going to argue the merits of that whole thing all over again, other than to say we've seen in the morning news recently information that said critical information was withheld from the voters before when they had an opportunity to vote on this. The project was oversold to us. It was oversold the first time with pictures of pretty sailboats on the river. It was oversold the second time with crucial information withheld. I think it's a very good idea to continue to look at that extremely expensive project and make decisions as we go along based on the latest and best information, which is that the Corps never said that they were going to go forward with that project. By federal law, they couldn't say that. So they never gave solid assurances, and NTTA didn't either. I would not change my position. I was proud of the work I did on that referendum, and I would do it again.
I've got a couple of what I would call more negative questions towards candidates, one for Donna and one for Sandy. The question, who's going first? You're first, right, Sandy? Let's have a question on this one. Question for you, Sandy, is what are the complaints that was a member of the audience said about you when you were a past council member is that you did not come to City Hall for regular hours. The question is, would you, if elected, now have regular hours at City Hall for the constituents to come meet with you?
Nobody at City Hall has regular hours, especially the Chair of Transportation. There are lots and lots of outside meetings that you have to go to. What you do is you have an assistant that sets up your meetings, and so that when people call and they want to see you, then they know that you will be there at that time. So there are no set 9 to 5 hours at City Hall. You have committee meetings, you have outside meetings, you have luncheons, you have lots of things that you need to attend. So that is the nature of the job. And people who work at City Hall every day, the staff, the security guards, will tell you that I was one of, if not the most conscientious council member they ever saw. I always did my homework. I spent long hours at City Hall, stayed there at night, because that's a great time to get things done. The phone stops ringing, the staff stops coming in, and you can get caught up with a lot of stuff. So I would tell you that there has been information put out recently by Ms. Starnes that I wasn't conscientious because I missed lots of different meetings. 475 votes, she said I missed. That is absolutely misleading and intentionally misleading, which is that there are hundreds of items, between 1 and 200 items on every single council agenda that's an action agenda. And so you can add 475 by missing 4 or 5 agenda meetings over the course of an 8-year period of time that I served there. One of them was because there was a death in the family. One of them was because I had surgery for injuries I suffered as a result of a red light runner hitting my car and totaling it. And others were excused absences when I was away on city business. Now, I don't know if that's intentionally misleading information that Ms. Starnes put out, or she simply hasn't been down to City Hall enough to know how those council meetings work and that there are hundreds of items on every single council agenda.
Let me, this is a question for you, Donna, relates to your Tea Party involvement. How will your Tea Party affiliation influence your council participation?
Very positively. I'm very proud of being a member of the Tea Party, which stands for fiscal responsibility, personal responsibility, and promotes free enterprise. In the Tea Party, we don't endorse candidates. Also, we spend a lot of time educating ourselves about candidates, about different issues. We put on a forum to educate people about the Dallas County Judge and the Dallas County District Attorney to get more participation in the election last time. So I'm very proud of being a member of the Tea Party, and I think it will only inform me and help me do a better job. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Let's move on. I want to ask you a couple of questions getting back to the city budget. We've got some other questions up here that are really good. I'm going to get to them. We have 11 minutes left until the Mavs game warm-up begins, so we want to get out of here in 11 minutes. Let's talk about some of the cuts that could be made. It's being made in other places around the country when you talk about what city services are being cut. So let's start with a couple of them right off the top of the mat. What about privatizing libraries and recreation centers? What do you think about that?
Well, right now we do have some organizations within the city that are privatized. Some of the tennis clubs are privatized. The Elm Fork shooting range, I don't know if you knew about that, is privatized. I think it is a good idea to look at that, to do a little experimentation with it, to see if it will work out. Also, I think it's a good idea to look at the contracts that we have with some of the organizations that are already privatized and see if we can adjust the contract a little bit to actually allow those groups to do more and maybe produce more for the city of Dallas and themselves as well.
I don't think anything should be off the table. I think we should look at privatization. There is a committee that City Hall has that is a privatization committee that has citizens on it that bring forth ideas on a regular basis about different areas in the city that could be privatized, and they take a good hard look at that. I do have some healthy skepticism, though, about privatization in some areas. I would tell you that when I first got on council, our part of the city, and only our part of the city, had private garbage pickup. And it was a disaster. We had around 200 calls a week from residents whose garbage had been picked up by this private company. And written into the contract were penalties if the garbage wasn't picked up, but they were so small that the company just saw it as a cost of doing business. And they ignored the residents' complaints and never did pick their garbage up until the following week. So it's things like that you have to look very closely at. Privatization can be good, privatization can be bad. It all depends on how the contract is written and what kinds of incentives and penalties are put into that contract for good performance.
If you're a small business person in the city of Dallas and you've been to any of the city council forums that have occurred, and I've done probably 20 of them so far, the question always comes up about how difficult it is to do business with the city of Dallas if you are a business person trying to get a permit. I know one restaurateur, for instance, that's in this part of the world that says that he will never come back and try to put a restaurant in this part of the world because of the difficulty in going through the permit process at City Hall. So my question to you is, because you've been out there talking to voters and you've been talking to business folks, do you think the city permitting process works? And if so, what would you do to change it?
If it doesn't work, what would you do to change it?
Yes.
The question is, do you think it works, and how do you fix it?
If it's not broken, doesn't have to fix, right?
I think it must be broken because we hear so many complaints about it. But I would tell you that the city management works on that issue all the time. They have what they call one-stop permitting. They have an area in Oak Cliff, they have a building in Oak Cliff called OCMOC. It stands for Oak Cliff Municipal Center. And that is where businesses go and try and get these permits. And it is not an easy process. It must not be because we keep hearing about it from businesses that we are not business friendly. We need to look at that. We want these, especially small businesses, to be healthy and to come to Dallas and establish their businesses here and grow their businesses here. So we need to keep looking at what we're doing wrong and how we can fix that. And right now, we don't seem to have the answer yet because we keep hearing these complaints. So that is something we will keep looking at. And I pledge that we will continue to look at that and find a better way to do it. And what the council can do with that issue is to make sure they keep the pressure on the city management and the city staff to find the solution.
I was actually trying to be nice to the news guy who passes slower like he does, but I'm messing up.
Yes, when I walk through the neighborhood, I've talked to numerous business people who said they simply refuse to do business with the city of Dallas anymore because not only is the permit process difficult, but the people in the permitting department are difficult to deal with for some reason. Now, there must be a reason for that, as Sandy said. Possibly there isn't enough staffing there. Possibly we need to look at that. Possibly it's the wrong staffing. We need to look at that. But I think it's very important. You know, I'd like to put an emphasis on jobs and business. When I walk around the neighborhood and talk to people, jobs and economy is what comes up, number one. While Sandy wants to, you know, put some new parks in, I think that's wonderful. But right now in this economy, we need to focus on jobs. We need to make sure we have sensible regulations, and we need to encourage all sizes of businesses to come to Dallas. We also need, although she accuses me of being a one-issue candidate, I think that the philosophy of fiscal responsibility in government, which our citizens expect, also has a big influence on our economy and jobs. Because people, there was a recent survey by Michael Cox at SMU where he determined that two of the top determinants of people moving to a location were low taxes and the expectation that government would not be out of control in their spending and incurring debt, etc., and thus have to raise taxes.
There was a stop up here and I was going to gracefully take the microphone. We're 5 minutes away from being done, and we do want to get to give them each a couple of chances to do some closing statements. So I'm going to probably reduce your closing statements to maybe a minute and a half or 2 minutes, okay, so I get one more question in, because I want to get at the question you just raised, but you raised it earlier in your campaign, and that is the issue of debt with regards to the city of Dallas. There's a proposed 2012 bond election that's being proposed. We have the SM bond programs in the past that have yet to be funded, so we have some potential for increases in our property taxes because through the natural bond process. Are you in favor of putting a moratorium on bond programs until such time as we get through this fiscal crisis? And I think, who's first? Where am I with regards to who goes first, audience?
Well, by putting a moratorium, you mean not having a bond program at all? Okay.
The future, the impact of future costs.
Yeah. I think there are things that need to be done, and we capital projects that need to be done, and that's what bond programs are for. So I think we do need to have a bond program, but we just need to be very careful about increasing our debt significantly through a large bond program, is what I would say.
Our last two bond programs were very, very large, and at one point, the city did tell the residents of Dallas that, you know, if they voted for this bond program, there would be an increase in their property taxes. This next bond program, I was actually surprised when the city said that they wanted to do another bond program, given the level of debt that we have. But if this bond program is mostly about flood control and fixing those parts of the city that need to have these repairs done, like to the sumps and the pumps, I could support that because that's critically important, and the cost is so enormous that you can't fund that as a regular project in the capital budget. You need to do through the, you need to do a bond program. So I would be supportive of that, but I would not be supportive of piling on all kinds of extra projects. You know, we keep doing things in the city like building additional libraries in areas when we can't fund the facilities, we can't staff the facilities that we already have, and we can't fund their maintenance. So I think that we need to take a good hard look at things like that and say, if we can't maintain it, if we can't staff it, why are we building it?
Okay, audience, join me in thanking the candidates for their time. Now let's welcome closing remarks. Sandy, you go first and take a couple minutes.
During the course of this campaign, I've tried to run a very positive campaign, and I've tried to let the residents of District 12 know the things I've done in the past, which I think are a predictor of the things you do in the future. I focused on the things that I've done on behalf of the district, the work I've done in the city, and the things that I would want to do in the future with the district and the city. I've been somewhat dismayed at the very partisan tone that this election has taken on, which I've never had to deal with in the past. This is a nonpartisan election, and I believe strongly that city offices should be nonpartisan. There is no right or wrong, Republican or Democrat, way to fix a pothole. And I think that we all come together and we care about this city. And I think that's a good thing, and that we approach it in a nonpartisan manner. So although I have been dismayed with that, I'm going to go forward and I'm going to continue to run a positive campaign. I ask you for your support. I ask that I get your vote, and I promise you that if I do get reelected, I will work as hard as I ever did on behalf of this district and in the city and with the residents of this district, who are great people to work with. Thank you.
Well, thanks again for inviting us here. And I think the campaign has been relatively mild, to tell you the truth. We've had, we haven't had a lot of opportunities for forums or get-togethers. I would just say that we've had some hailstorms recently. You may have had a hole in your roof from the hailstorms. You may have a landscaper that you really like, that you've known a long time and everything, but you're not going to ask them to fix your roof. You know, we've got some financial difficulties in the city of Dallas. We're going to be prosperous someday soon, but we need to position ourselves for the future. I've got the experience to help us move forward in that way, and I'd like to ask for your vote, and with your vote I can put my experience to work full time for you and the city of Dallas. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Sandy, for
thank you, Ken,
I think I did okay, right?
You did great.
Thank you, audience.